Halliburton Labs, the core of what we're doing is an accelerator program, and it is Halliburton Labs is a standalone C Corp within Halliburton that really serves as a front door for early stage companies to access over 100 years of expertise and industrial infrastructure and business network that Halliburton has developed, bringing and commercializing technologies at the scale of the global energy sector.
Welcome to the Manufacture Houston podcast, where Houston's manufacturers come to share, learn, and grow. Brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. In today's episode of Manufacture Houston, we speak to Dale Winger and Scott Gale of Halliburton Labs. Halliburton Labs has a unique Scalerator program that is helping a variety of companies meet the challenges of cleaner, more affordable energy. I'm sure you'll love today's episode.
Well, welcome to the Manufacture Houston podcast. Dale, Scott, so happy to have you guys on today. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate the invitation. Great to be here.
You got it. Let's do some introductions. So maybe Dale, you can kick us off. Tell us about you, your background, how you got to what you're doing now, and then we'll pitch it to you, Scott. So Dale, you can go first.
Yeah, thank you, Moosh. My name is Dale Winger. I'm the managing director at Halliburton Labs with leadership responsibility for the organization. I've worked at Halliburton since 2014, mostly in its specialty chemicals business. So most recently, prior to joining Halliburton Labs in January, I had vice president responsibility for the global specialty chemicals business, including P&L and strategy and people, manufacturing and technology. Prior to joining Halliburton in 2014, I was at the Dow Chemical Company. And so I started my career mostly in specialty chemicals roles. I started my career in agriculture, crop protection, bioseed, biotech seeds and traits, and actually moved into some other Dow specialty chemicals businesses, including residential insulation, building materials. So it's been a good journey, and really excited about Halliburton Labs.
Dale, it sounds like you got chemicals coming out of your blood. Probably smell like a few chemicals too, I would imagine. That's great. Well, welcome, Dale, to the podcast. Scott, how about you? Tell us about you.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to, Moosh. Thanks for having us on. So I started my career at Dow Chemical as well, primarily in oil and gas applications, pretty broad spectrum from cementing to drilling muds to enhanced oil recovery projects. Right around the time in kind of the early 2010s, as the shale boom was kind of taken off, decided to pursue an opportunity to manage a big chemical portfolio specifically related to hydraulic fracturing technologies. And so left Dow and went to go work for a Belgian chemical company, Solvay, and kind of with a chemical engineering background, had really discovered that engineering, chemical engineering in particular, at least in my view, was kind of glorified plumbing, and wanted to sort of pursue more commercial opportunities. And the opportunity came to join Halliburton in kind of the end of the summer of 2014. Actually, Dale and I hired into Halliburton within just a couple of months of one another, and pursued an MBA here in town at Rice University. And previous to my role here in Halliburton Labs, where I serve as the executive director focused on investments and our external engagements, I was managing Halliburton's global hydraulic fracturing strategy. Had a counterpart who managed the design and build of all of the equipment. And I joked that I managed everything that we didn't drive away with after a job. So downhole fluid systems, diagnostics, workflows and a few other things that that we were working on. So I've spent a lot of time in and around the kind of North America scene in and around hydraulic fracturing in the early part of my career. But I do like to joke that every job that I've done in my career didn't exist until I stepped into it. So I've been lucky to have kind of an entrepreneurial background and experience and always working on kind of new change management related items. And the last comment that I'll make is that Halliburton is the youngest company that I've worked for, consequently.
Really?
And so it's definitely been a career focused on kind of change opportunities in big established companies.
That's amazing. Well, so when I hear your backgrounds, so both of you, Dale and Scott, it seems so different than what you both are doing now with Halliburton Labs. And I know there's a thread that goes through it, and certainly your interests in Halliburton Labs. So I'm really curious about that. Before we get to your connection and what led you to Halliburton Labs and why this is interesting to you, Dale, tell us a bit about Halliburton Labs and the kind of things that Halliburton Labs does every day. And I'd like to hear that from you too, Scott.
Sure. Halliburton Labs, the core of what we're doing is an accelerator program. And Halliburton Labs is a standalone C Corp within Halliburton that really serves as a front door for early stage companies to access over 100 years of expertise and industrial infrastructure and business network that Halliburton has developed, bringing and commercializing technologies at the scale of the global energy system. And so at the core of the program is an accelerator where companies, early stage companies, have the opportunity to come in and spend a year with us and take advantage of, sometimes it's physical space, which can include wet labs based in our global technology center on our Houston North Belt campus. We also have manufacturing makerspace where companies can progress from the lab scale version to something more appropriate for a commercial field trial in an industrial setting. But we also have companies participating in the accelerator program that don't use any of Halliburton's physical space and take advantage of the knowledge and the mentorship and the expertise of how to do business in countries that they've not participated in before, how to go from an engineering organization to a manufacturing organization. And we're here to help. It's a very founder-centric environment. It's an open and collaborative environment where we try to make it real easy for a small company to tap in to the resources that we've made a significant investment to accumulate, and that's kind of something that we can give to help accelerate cleaner, affordable energy.
That's amazing. So, Scott, what does a day in the life of Halliburton Labs look like from your perspective and also from the companies that come into the program?
Sure. I mean, just a quick comment kind of leading into that is sort of zooming out before we zoom in, I guess, is that energy is important for everybody. It drives quality of life for people on the planet. And it is a big, wicked challenge to take clean, affordable energy to everybody around the world. And so it comes with a whole range of challenges and motivations. And so I say that in part because some of the founding principles around Halliburton Labs is that the energy transition is real. It's going to take a long time to kind of get to whatever time frame, 2030, 2050, whatever that energy system of the future looks like. It's going to be made up of lots of different technological advancements in all sorts of different pockets around kind of the energy sector. And it's populated by people who are mission driven. And they are really focused on solving really important problems for people. And so how that translates into the day in the life, I mean, it is helping passionate people solve real tangible problems. And one of the things that we also recognized in kind of standing up Halliburton Labs is that particularly founders that are trying to solve tough tech, deep tech, tangible tech kinds of problems, they have different needs than those that are focused purely on software. Mm-hmm. And in our diligence and our kind of front end work, it was clear that there was a gap, that there really weren't a lot of great resources, that maybe the venture capital model wasn't quite perfectly built for these kinds of companies, and that there was a need. And given the depth of expertise that we have and the skill sets that we have at our disposal, it's kind of precipitated a discussion. There's probably a match here. And so every day is a completely different. We've got four companies that are on board, and they are all at kind of varying stages in their own respective journeys. And that consists of solving immediate problems or challenges in terms of sourcing materials, in terms of securing grants, in terms of getting connected with potential investors, in terms of moving goods around the world. And we like to be kind of the first port of call when these founding teams have a problem or a challenge or an opportunity, that we triage that with them and talk about how the Halliburton network or our capabilities or people that we might know might be able to help them. And we work to do that at founders' speed, at entrepreneurial speed. And you know, for them, it's many of them have put their you know, livelihoods on the line to go make this thing work. And so it's really a dynamic and exciting environment to be working in and being around these types of innovative driven folks.
That's amazing. It seems like one of the interesting challenges is that you've got a company like Halliburton, the scale of Halliburton and the global reach of Halliburton. How do you think Halliburton is able to sort of shift into, to use your expression, founder speed? Because that certainly seems like potentially two different business models. So tell me about that interface. How do you manage that interface of large company organization structure speed with founder speed?
I guess we'll take sort of first stab at it. It's in some cases it's easy, and in some cases it can be complicated. Really, in the DNA of Halliburton as a service company in oil field services, we have a listen and respond approach to things. We pride ourselves as being the execution company. We know how to get things done. Mm-hmm. And kind of core to our capability is we take applied engineering to remote and complicated environments around the world, surface, subsurface. And so we really do have kind of a get it done kind of mentality as an organization. And so tapping into that, I think has been really nice alignment. And frankly, in some cases, we move faster than some of the founding teams are either expecting or ready to sort of marry up with. Right. And so it does. But there are certainly nuances or differences in terms of the kinds of things that they're solving for that maybe we're not as accustomed to solving for. But I'll leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah, that's
they'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. Dale, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, the only thing that was perfect. The only thing that I was going to add to that is one thing that has been terrific is the enthusiasm of the Halliburton organization towards what we are doing with Halliburton Labs. So Halliburton Labs is actually a small team of people, and we're not building another Halliburton inside of Halliburton Labs. And right. So we're, you know, tapping into our HR department and our manufacturing organization and our legal group. But there's a lot of enthusiasm, throughout sort of, you know, operations and around the world. You know, I think part of it is there is an increasing appreciation that, you know, the energy mix of the future is going to be different. And I think people are, we have a lot of, you know, engineering type folks and scientific minded people that, you know, are curious and they want to learn and they're paying attention. And so, you know, there's sort of the acknowledgement that, hey, you know, there's an opportunity to be a part of something here and be on the front end of it. And the other thing, of course, that you know about engineers is they like to solve new challenges. And of course, the companies that are working in our accelerator program are doing very different things than the activities and engineering that we're doing in the normal Halliburton business. And so the opportunity to engage with some of these energetic entrepreneurs and, you know, sort of look at problems from a small company perspective and be able to, you know, maybe help a company save, you know, 90 days of trying to figure out how to solve a problem with a 60-minute conversation with somebody that's, you know, world's expert in that discipline or domain is something that has really sort of brought a charge and has been responded to very favorably. So we've been very fortunate in that regard to really kind of move around the organization seamlessly and have so many kind of, you know, willing people that are excited to help.
That's truly unique. So Dale, tell me about what, from your perspective as an individual, what is attractive to you about this opportunity? Because as you described earlier, you came from a pretty traditional sort of business level P&L job, et cetera. And now you're doing something that is pretty disruptive. So what was the thing that hooked you to Halliburton Labs?
Yeah, I'd probably put it in three buckets. You know, the first is learning. I mean, there is a lot to be learned about, you know, the energy system of the future, and there's some big problems that need to be solved. And so, you know, professionally, you always feel like you're growing a lot when you're in an environment where there's, you know, significant sort of challenges to be solved and you know, being, you know, having, you know, kind of an opportunity to explore around and really kind of think about, I mean, these are hard problems, of course. I mean, if there were sort of an easy way to, you know, have the sort of the affordability and reliability of hydrocarbons with in a lower emissions way, we'd probably already be doing it by now.
Right.
So, you know, the first piece is the challenge, you know, just really enjoying the learning and the challenge. The second piece is really the people. You know, as Scott mentioned, I mean, the folks that companies, you know, kind of mission minded, you know, they have pretty big ambitions in terms of wanting to make an impact in the world. They're smart. You know, they help me think about things differently. I really just kind of appreciate the you know, sort of the drive that they bring. And I think, you know, being around people that make you better is always a fun aspect professionally. And third, I think it's really important to Halliburton. I think Halliburton has a lot to contribute. We're seeing it right now with the companies that we engage with. We have lots of resources that are helpful to them. And in the absence of Halliburton Labs, we really didn't have, you know, any sort of vehicle or mechanism to connect all this capability and knowledge and network and expertise to, you know, the clean energy, you know, challenges that our society and our industry face. And so I think it's really important that, you know, Halliburton is participating in a really active way and really excited to be a part of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Dale. Scott, what about you? What's that sort of that Kool-Aid drink that you swallowed that has really pulled you into Halliburton Labs?
I mean, I think Dale's characterized it really well. I've got similar sentiments. I think in the bucket of kind of learning, you know, when we looked at sort of the Halliburton Labs opportunity, the Venn diagram of early stage companies, venture capital, and we'll just call it broadly clean energy or the energy transition, at least for me, we're all nearly blank sheets of paper, like starting from from scratch personally. And while I have been involved around technology and commercialization of technology for my entire career, that type of early stage involvement, et cetera, was something that was brand new. And so getting up that learning curve was and has been sort of one of the exciting things. You wake up every day and it's something new, something exciting, something different. And I think part of it as well that has been really exciting is, you know, the energy transition. You know, I don't know if you could sort of pinpoint a starting date, but there's been discussion going on for a long, long time around these kinds of problems, but it's certainly reached a fever pitch. I would say sort of with the pandemic and with sort of rethinking kind of the broader sort of human impact on the world and sort of what that looks like. And so there's an opportunity to be part of something meaningful, sizable on the front end of the curve in terms of how this is coming along has been just a blast. It's been a lot of fun, and it's dynamic, and it's changing. And frankly, we're playing a role in shaping that. And so it's not just chasing a trend, but it's shaping and positioning that trend as well. And so all of that is just, frankly, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's unusual and it's rare for any professional to have the opportunity to make some kind of a generational impact and or generational change. And I think energy transition, you said it well, Scott, it's there's a bunch of white space available and a lot of opportunities to innovate and for entrepreneurs to figure out how to solve problems. So tell me, let's switch to some of the companies that are within the cohort right now, Scott. Whatever you can share with us, whatever specifics or general information you can give us about a company or two that are working their way through Halliburton Labs right now and what you've seen from those companies and what you think they've learned from the experience so far.
Sure. And I think as we jump into that, I think it'd be fair to just highlight that the kind of the areas that we're looking at or supporting are around power generation, kind of energy storage, energy conservation, circular economy, waste of value kinds of things. And so our definition of kind of cleaner, affordable energy as a part of our mission is frankly pretty broad and so pretty far reaching view of potential participants. And so we've seen that reflected in the finalist day and pitch event that we held in December. And the four companies that we've brought on, I think, represent that pretty well. And the other thing that's represented in sort of the makeup of those companies and sort of the breadth of the net that we cast is, though Halliburton is headquartered and Halliburton Labs kind of footprint is in Houston, Texas, we're a global company and we operate in lots of different places around the world. And so, frankly, we look for and scout for early stage companies in lots of different places. And so the four companies that are represented today and are participating today, only one of them is a Houston-based company, one out of Washington State, another out of Tennessee, and one out of Dallas. And so think that it's worth highlighting sort of the breadth of applications as well as kind of the locations. And so maybe with that, maybe Dale, if you want to highlight some of the specific companies.
Sure. So the Houston-based company was the first company that joined in the accelerator program, Nanotech. So Nanotech is fireproofing and insulating the world. They've got some extraordinary material science innovation to bring to market an additive that has a step change in the performance of fireproofing and insulating. And so there's a host of applications and interested customers, ranging from industrial applications to building materials, of course. We've been working with Nanotech since July. They raised their first round of institutional financing in December, which has helped accelerate their journey. And they're now sort of doing a scale-up step on our North Belt campus in terms of the manufacturing process to meet increasingly larger commercial opportunities. And so the next three companies came in together. So we had a finalist pitch day in December. And in January, we extended participation agreements to a subset of the companies that participated in that today and brought on three more. Anexor Bioenergy is preparing for their global launch in 2021. And so they're converting plastic waste and organic waste and biomass into behind the meter electricity and heat. We have a company in Richland, Washington that joined as a part of the cohort called OCO. So OCO is recycling CO2. They are taking CO2 and making it into formic acid as an innovative way to store and transport hydrogen as a liquid fuel, similar to storing liquid hydrocarbons. Mm-hmm. We have a company in Dallas, Texas, Momentum Technologies, recycling lithium ion batteries, which, as you know, with the increased electrification of everything, there's lots and lots of need, just to make sure that's a clean value chain and a sustainable value chain from end to end, whether you're talking about, battery manufacturers or batteries that, come to end of life, sort of being able to properly recycle that material and reuse it is a big deal. So we're very fortunate. And as Scott mentioned, quite a bit of diversity across that spectrum in terms of, a couple of circular economy applications and certainly a conservation or energy efficiency play there with nanotech.
Well, I see what you're both saying now about sort of the wide open nature of energy transition, and that there's so many different problems that have to be solved along the way, whether it's circular economy plays or material science or whatever the case might be. There's lots of opportunities to help companies like that. Scott, let me come back to you. Are there certain characteristics of companies that you look for, besides being somewhere in this sort of concept of any transition? What are the other kind of characteristics that you think are important that make them a good fit for Halliburton Labs?
Sure. Certainly a couple of things. One of them is the stage of their journey. And so, we really kind of joke that we want to position ourselves as a scalerator. And so for that to be effective, the companies need to be far enough along that it's not just an idea that they've got on the back of a napkin, but that they're kind of far enough along that the science is settled. Their tech doesn't break the laws of physics. It operates under the laws of thermodynamics. Like there's things that have been sort of established and proven. And so they're not going from 0 to 1, but they're preparing to go from 1 to 10 or even 10 to 100 and sort of at that inflection point of scale. And so there's a few indicators that we look for. Oftentimes they're sort of at or approaching first revenue. Oftentimes they have not yet raised an institutional round of financing, but they're preparing to do so in the next 12 months. And so they're in that kind of seed to Series A bridge typically. That's not a hard, fast rule. Some companies get pretty far along on non-dilutive financing, government grants, and other things, depending on their journey. But oftentimes they've participated in other accelerator or incubator programs. And so we kind of like to think of ourselves as like a graduate program to some of those and work well with lots of other startup development organizations that are helping companies kind of come along. And so that's a pretty common profile. Several members of the founding team, always looking for, the technology. We like to sort of generally like to assume that the technology is going to work. We obviously do our technical diligence, but if the technology does what they say they're going to do, what's the market opportunity? Do they have control over their own destiny? Do 7 other things have to be real for their one thing to work? And so we dig deeply into that and try and understand kind of where their journey is going to take them. But that stage and positioning is really important, in part because what we've built as a part of kind of the 12-month program is intended to supercharge that and to help them sort of progress more quickly, with the goal being once they've completed their experience with us, that they're that much more prepared and therefore that much more investable down the road.
I love the term scalerator. I don't know if that's a Halliburton trademark term or not. If it isn't, it should be.
I will say we stole it. We stole it from Microsoft, but I don't think Microsoft uses it anymore. Back in 2015, 2016, they had sort of a scalerator program in the software world. So I won't say that we coined it, but we just repurposed it.
Excellent. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, Dale, one of the things that I remember hearing from both of you when I was at Halliburton Labs a couple of weeks ago was how you can actually help companies scale, because Halliburton has tremendous global reach and customer access. Tell us a little bit about those kinds of mechanisms and how you can help some of these nascent companies through the scalerator process.
Yeah. So, Scott was kind of talking about our diligence process and really trying to find companies in the right window. And that's really important because we are, in terms of how do we help companies scale, we actually provide them with really unlimited access to the Halliburton organization. I mean, we track the hours, but there's no kind of quota or limit. If a company has a problem and we have some expertise or supplier or experience that would be helpful to help them use their time and money more efficiently, we will provide that, even if, you know, it's, we just learned about it this morning and we were working on 10 other things. And so as a result of that, we have a certain capacity of the number of companies we can have in the program at any given time. And so we're bringing on three cohorts of companies per year. So, you know, we brought one on in the first of the year. We've got another application window that's open right now. Application window's open until April 23rd. And we'll have another set of companies pitch in May. And then there'll be another sort of pitch event in September where we'll bring on a third cohort of 2021. But each of those four cohorts, for us to do the kind of job that we want to be able to do and really give, you know, unlimited access throughout the organization, are probably going to be a max of 3, 4, or 5 companies in each cohort. And so we'll get to the end of the year and we'll have 10 or 15 active companies that we're helping out at any given point in time. But what their experience looks like with us, Moosh, is it's, you know, kind of, you know, sort of two distinct tracks. You know, one is really company specific priorities where, you know, we do check-ins with the CEO and sometimes other members of the company's leadership team and just talk about the things that are keeping them awake at night, some of their key, you know, milestones for the week, for the month, for the quarter, for the year. And as you know, sometimes those change. Sometimes information is gained and there's a pivot and we want to stay very, very tightly connected with those. And sometimes things that, you know, the company is struggling with, they wouldn't have thought to come to Halliburton, but, you know, we are a global business. And so we have kind of, you know, issues across the spectrum as well, you know, beyond, you know, directly related to, you know, to our business. And so those are really good conversations. And sometimes they're working on government grants. Sometimes they're trying to get a unit completed to provide for field trial. Sometimes it's, you know, setting up a safety process or, you know, manufacturing and doing business in a country they've not participated in before. So, that, you know, that's just kind of the range of company specific priorities. And we really let the founders drive that conversation. I mean, we don't kind of show up with a list of things other than, you know, we're taking notes and coming up with ideas on how we might, you know, help them use their time and money more efficiently. The second track that's kind of distinct from that is we have a 16-week structured curriculum that's available. We do it once a week where we deep dive specific topics that are important to an early stage company. And so depending on the topic, we might have a Halliburton expert, you know, deliver that portion of the curriculum and sort of lead the dialogue with the founders. Or we might pull in someone from our business network or a third party if it's not an area of expertise within Halliburton. And so, for example, of course, early stage companies are very focused on fundraising. And so we've had sessions on, you know, equity and cap table management. We've had sessions on, you know, pitch deck and fundraising. But you know, we also have, you know, Halliburton type topics where, you know, we talk about product market fit and the steps towards, you know, completing a project towards commercialization. Halliburton, you know, leads sessions on supply chain and health and safety. And so, Moosh, those also create really good opportunities because sometimes those topics are not maybe in the top 2 or 3 things that the founding team is most focused on, but they realize, you know, as they start bringing in, you know, institutional financing and commercial opportunities and expanding into different geographies, that there's a lot of things that can be planned for, you know, now to sort of avoid pinch points later. And so we usually get to come away from those sessions with more company specific priorities that we weren't even aware of before the session as a result of having a very focused discussion on one aspect of the business.
That's amazing. I think what's so unusual about the Halliburton Labs program is that these companies are actually in an operating business, unlike maybe a typical accelerator program or a VC environment, where Halliburton is solving operating problems all day long, like how do I get the product halfway around the world, or a customer hasn't paid me yet. What do I do about that situation? Well, there's a tough technical problem that the customer really wants to have solved. I just think that's such a unique environment to be in, and you can't really reproduce that besides being in an operating company. I think it's a special opportunity for the companies that go through the cohort.
I appreciate that. And that's certainly a niche that we're trying to fill. And as Scott referenced earlier, there is a bit of a gap there. I mean, even a really, you know, smart, talented team with a good technology, you don't have all of the resources and experience and business right. network that Halliburton has. And so, you know, being able to avoid, you know, some mistakes that are going to, you know, cost 90 days of time or a few $100,000 of sort of, you know, misallocated capital, can be the difference between, you know, success and, you know, a longer journey or a more challenging journey for the
partner. For sure. So Scott, let's, as we sort of bring the episode to a close, I'm curious about the next two or three years. And if you could sort of write an amazing story for Halliburton Labs and the companies that go through it, what would that story sound like? What would be the highlights of that story?
Sure. I think a couple of things. One, you know, we often say we're a startup in and of ourselves. You know, we haven't turned kind of a full crank on everything that we plan to go and do. And so we empathize deeply with sort of the companies that come in and participate. And, you know, Halliburton is a vast organization. And so we act as in part sort of tour guides to sort of help them navigate their journey and leaning on the resources that we have as we come along. And so I think over the next two or three years, sort of on that time horizon, you know, we anticipate that we build better muscles around kind of how to do that. Frankly, you know, Halliburton Labs, it didn't exist before. So it's a new structure, no internal process, no connective tissue back into the, so all of that has to be built over time. And sort of working that, certainly have accomplished a lot of that and have more to do as we come out of this virtual world and as kind of the world starts to reopen and other things. There's several things that we'll need to have in place. But sort of fast forward, if our goal is to bring on and support something like 10 to 15 companies a year, as Dale highlighted, in multiple cohorts. So if you were to fast forward, let's say even 5 years into the future, we will have spent 12 months with roughly 75 different companies across a really broad spectrum of energy kinds of challenges and opportunities. And so I think for us, seeing kind of the energy transition unfold and being on kind of the front end of that curve, anticipate that we're going to have a lot of assumptions that we have today that are challenged and refreshed. And so anticipate that we will learn a lot as we go along and do that. And, you know, the goal being to learn and to understand where things are going and look for additional opportunities to invest further, to see if there's an application of this model for potentially later stage companies. There's a lot to explore in terms of investment opportunities. And so there's frankly quite a bit that's kind of on the table, but we're in kind of early days. And so there's a lot that in that the next couple of years kind of gets better clarified. But you got to raise your hand and say you want to participate to be there. And so that I think is really important.
Well, you said earlier that chemical engineers are glorified plumbers, and it certainly sounds like you're doing a lot of plumbing work right now to get this whole concept off the ground. And it's always the unglamorous part of launching something is all the behind the scenes stuff that somebody has to build in order for something to look like an overnight success some point down the road.
That's right. Well said.
So Dale, tell us about how a company, if they're listening to this and they're curious about joining the cohort or getting more information, what's the best way for a company to reach out to Halliburton Labs?
Yeah, we want to get to know you. Scott and I spend most days introducing ourselves and you know, either continuing or starting dialogues with companies to explore whether there's any way that we can help them and really understanding what they're solving for, where they're at on their journey, and if there's a relationship with Halliburton Labs that makes sense. And by the way, it doesn't have to be as a member of the accelerator program. We have relationships with companies that we try to help that are not, you know, participants in the program. But, you know, to answer your question, I mean, you know, Scott and I are both on LinkedIn and would be happy, you know, to have a dialogue if there's interest in, you know, having that exploratory conversation about what the experience looks like. We're always interested to understand a lot about, you know, the company and the technology and meet the team and, you know, just understand, you know, what obstacles are in their way. And, you know, knowing the Halliburton organization as we do, sort of thinking through, you know, whether there would be, you know, some access to resources or support that would make their journey easier. So as Scott said, we're very focused kind of on hardware, material sciences, equipment, you know, tough tech. And that entrepreneur has a, you know, it's a more capital intensive journey. The engineering and scaling risks are different and it takes more time. And so, you know, the support group, you know, for those companies is not as robust as it needs to be. And we really want to be the best at doing that. I mean, it's really important to us that, you know, the companies that we have a relationship with, have a good experience with us and feel that they've gotten everything they can wring out of the Halliburton organization in terms of accelerating their way into, you know, a commercial and more meaningful impact on the energy system.
That's great. So what I'll do is also add some information in the show notes so then people can click on those links and reach you both. Well, Scott and Dale, this was amazing. I think we could probably talk for 3 or 4 more hours. And I'd love to have you both back on some point in time in the future to share some more stories of what you both have learned and some successes and perhaps more plumbing stories too as Halliburton Labs travels down the road. So thank you again for your time and for Halliburton Labs, for everything that you guys are doing for innovation and for the Houston community and for energy transition for the world.
Well, Moosh, thank you very much. And we appreciate what you do for the Houston manufacturing and startup ecosystem as well. It's really important. And we're grateful to have friends like you.
Awesome. Great.
Awesome. Thanks, Moosh.
Thanks, guys.
This has been the Manufacture Houston podcast brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. If you'd like to be on the show or want to recommend someone to get on the show, just reach out to me on LinkedIn, MUSHKHAN, Moosh Khan. I look forward to hearing from you.